Wish that I could find a way to reach across this evening sky, bring you back by my side. All the miles, miles I've roamed, your heart still calls me home. It's where I want to reside. Here without you by my side, a little bit of the light has died, and I'm left on my own at night, having conversations with the moon. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Conversations with the moon just aren't the same without you here to help me keep the cold at bay. Afternoons in the sun without you just aren't as fun as closing out the world as us all day. Here without you by my side, a little bit of the light has died, and I'm left on my own at night, having conversations with the moon. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Miss your skin, I miss sinking ear under the sun of you, knowing you are all mine, all mine. When I wake up, the sun doesn't shine as bright, 'cause dreams are all I see, visions of you and me, all by myself, having conversations with the moon. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Having conversations with the moon.
That was Cat Heart on the Worst Little Podcast.
Who wants to be famous?
The biggest little city in the world, the American cradle of liberty.
Look at you! You're a freak!
What are we alive for except to grab all the kicks we can? To contaminate our society.
Now being renovated.
Mr. Dowd.
Podcasting live from the recent past in the Dogwater Studios, high above the UNR campus in Reno, Nevada. The biggest little music scene in the world and the city of trembling leaves. It's the Worst Little Podcast, and I am your host, Nick Ramirez, with Cadillac Kim, Dogwater Dick, Ian, we got Melanie from Kid Rocker, and we got the beautiful Cat Heart.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
Fucking yeah.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Dude, it was like sultry and fucking, I don't know. That was rad.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
I don't mean
Thank
our theme
you.
Song, I mean your song. Oh.
I mean, the theme song is rad.
Oh, it's so true. But... Thank you, Evan.
Yes.
But Kat is more rad.
Oh, God. Oh.
Yes.
She's freshly
rad. I don't think Evan
rad.
Would even disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean, no, we hear that every week, you know?
Thank you, guys.
I love how that song was like really bittersweet, but then it ended all redemptive and joyful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, we should tell everybody who's talking.
Oh, yeah. We should do that. Introduce yourselves.
Hi, guys. I'm Kat. Nice to talk to you today. It's rad to be here. This place is really cool.
Welcome to Dogwater Studio.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm also Kat. I'm Melanie. It's very nice to be here today, too.
This is Melanie's third time?
Yes, I'm a three-timer, which is way cooler sounding than two-timer.
That's fair.
You don't want to be a two-timer.
No.
What are you here to talk about, Melanie?
Well, I'd love to talk to you guys about this passion project I'm involved in called Kid Rocker, which is a music education program for at-risk youth. We just got our 501c3 nonprofit status, and we are training our first two scholarship recipients.
Sweet.
Fuck yeah.
You know who would be really great to help you with that? My friend Lucas.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Lucas Stevenson.
Oh, I have the best ideas.
So this
God
is,
damn it, Rick.
This is his project. But
Lucas!
I,
and if you don't know, it also goes by Lucas Paul.
Oh,
right.
Oh, so, yes.
He's
oh,
kind sorry. Of a famous musician in Reno, a little bit.
I know.
Reno famous.
Lucas is so fucking bad.
I'm a... Yeah,
when Sick Kitty Sick comes to town, me and Lucas like fight each other for who gets to have them stay at our house.
Really?
He's a cool dude.
That's cool. Sure.
Yes, and this is his brainchild, of course. He just he has me on board as his treasurer because that's kind of my wheelhouse. I'm a grant writer by trade. My 9-to-5 is writing grants for nonprofits.
Everybody wants you. Oh my God. Because we looked into like, oh, wouldn't it be great for this to be a nonprofit that helped like, because we help the community and we help art. I started looking into all that grant stuff and I was like, screw that. I'll keep doing it for free. Screw that. What a pain in the ass.
Well, you know, grant work is just filling out paperwork.
Oh, it's but the just... getting the 501c3 and all that stuff was just like, and then all the grants were like, if you get 50% of the money from somewhere else, we'll give you a barrel full of cash. And I was like, nobody's going to pay me 50% of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. That was, I just gave up.
You
but this isn't
first,
about
no.
My failure. I'm so sorry.
But
I
yes,
derailed this into my failure.
It is about me failing. It's about my failure to recognize Lucas Paul as the, as the leader of this nonprofit organization. He's the executive director and the founder. We also have a scholarship named after his dad, William Stevenson, called My Will to Win Scholarship. It's available now. If you're interested and you know any young aspiring musicians, you can contact us at kidrockerreno@gmail.com.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome. Cool.
So, like, what does the program entail?
The program entails one-on-one instruction with local industry professionals leading up to a rock and roll concert as opposed to a recital. So the kids are learning about the industry from industry professionals. They're not reciting. They're not performing boring iterations of old songs. They're performing with a rock and roll band behind them. They're learning to promote. They're learning to work with the sound guy. You guys at home didn't see my air quotes. So they're learning the industry back and forth. They're also learning what opportunities are available to them as people interested in that endeavor. So you don't have to be a rock star to be in rock and roll.
So this is for kids who are interested in music in the first place and would like a leg up in actually making it a reality.
And it's also for kids who want to learn to play an instrument for the first time.
Oh,
that's rad.
Do you guys like form a band out of the kids? Like, you know, these bass players and these guitars and these drums, is it like a school like that or?
It's not. We have a couple of, they do have some programs for kids who want to do that. Lucas does have a production class, a recording class, but this is focused on one-on-one instruction, culminating in a concert.
The one-on-one.
They do really great. What do I want to say? Finales where they get everyone up on stage. But a lot of these kids are learning. A lot of these kids are first timers, giving them a rock and roll stage, a rock and roll platform, helps them work harder.
This is like such a cool idea.
Yeah, I really wish I had had something like that growing up. That would have been so cool.
Yeah.
I have kids. I have 4 kids. And my oldest is 17, and I got a 14 and a 12 and a 9-year-old. And my 14 and my 12-year-old are doing these things with me. My 14-year-old plays bass with me on stage, the one that you saw the video of, right?
Oh, right, Alex.
He's 14,
right?
And my 12-year-old, she plays ukulele and sings, and she just played with me on stage for the first time last Friday, which was really rad. But the beauty in what you're doing is that, for one, they're not alone on stage. Right? No matter what they're doing, they're part of a group, which is always a really cool thing to do. But for two, they can't fail because you're there to kind of catch them too, so that their first experience on stage, which is already going to be terribly frightening, is not so terribly frightening. I think that's fabulous. So it's like giving everybody's kids the chance my kids have. My kids are lucky.
I saw a really great video of you and your son, Alex, performing No Diggity.
Yeah.
And there's something really special about watching kids perform rock and roll, or in that case, hip hop. Something really cute. It's very marketable, too, if you're a grant writer.
So. Good to know.
Yeah, that's awesome, Melanie.
Damn,
yeah.
That kind of thing. Like, you could take a kid and they could get up there and they could find out the heroine of being on stage. And like, it could set them into a life of music. Or they could get on stage and be utterly terrified and realize this is not for me.
Well, like I always tell my son, like, it's a great side gig to have. It's not my main job. You know, music is something I do on the side. But it's a release. It's an emotional coping skill. It is a financial skill if you know how to do it right. And it's a way to still maintain social, you know, kind of things in your life. Even when life gets busy, it carves out that time for you. It's very much what I use it for. And so I think teaching your kids that is something incredible.
That's exactly what Lucas Amen. Says. And that's why yeah. he put this program together. He has a background in psychology. And he sure.
Does he? I always thought he was just nice because he was a nice guy, but he's like playing he nice with his psychology tricks.
And his wife is just as nice. Now, come on. Well, I don't know if they're married, but they're the cutest couple I've ever seen.
Oh, you know, Lindsay.
Yeah.
She's the best. But he did a lot of in-depth research about music in the brain and how important music is to especially at-risk youth, giving them something to – giving them a habit, something to do every day, something to the logo, the Kid Rocker logo is called the Peace Tree, and it reminds you to play music every day because playing music every day is a ritual, and it's a sensory ritual. So it calms you down and it trains your brain.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, I know for myself that like I have a lot of like depression and anxiety, and that like, you know, 10 minutes to half an hour every day that I sit down and play my instrument just like really helps recenter me and like everything's going to be okay. And it's great that you're teaching these kids at such a young age to like have a skill to deal with that instead of just like throwing them to the wolves and being like, figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's and awesome. Music is something that if you start early enough to, you can, you know, really do something with it. So, and kids are so malleable when they're young too, you know, they pick shit up so fast mm-hmm. that I wish my dad taught me the drums when I was like 5. I really do. Cause I love it so much now. I'm just like thinking, man, if I had that edge of learning it when I was little, you
100%.
Know? You know,
because you learn like a language when you're that young, you know, and it's just it's ingrained in you.
When you learn it for what it is, not just the cool factor, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're in it like this in a guided way, you're not just ending up like hanging out with your friends in a garage somewhere. Like you're learning something, and you're not just getting into it for the party or the, you know, to be cool and get chicks, because you have to put the work in. And then you've got somebody
yeah,
to guide
well, if
you
your band
you
sucks, you don't get the chicks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I bet they learned that real quick.
You know, most of my musician friends have learned that, and they're really good. They're like, don't get into music for the chicks. It doesn't work that way.
No.
Don't believe
That's
the hype
dream,
Don't believe
man.
The hype.
Speaking of chicks, I heard it's Women's March.
Yeah. It is Women's March. Yes, and that's why we have two beautiful, strong, amazing women in our studio today.
That's amazing.
Talking about the cool-ass shit
Three,
that they
if
do.
You ask me.
Oh, not me.
Yeah, you can. Come on.
You fit that criteria.
Come on.
Anyway. Yeah, no, we have a studio chock full of awesome women right now. So, and we will for the rest of the month. We've got the Grim Tones next month and then Rock Shapaksha after that.
Wait, next week or next month?
Next week. I'm sorry. Next week. Maybe they are.
Yeah. I was just talking with Carter and Michelle this weekend, actually, at their show at Alturas Bar, which they totally slayed.
Yeah. I got the weeks mixed up. We've 12
year anniversary, right?
Yeah. So, and it's the just as like, that's the day, essentially the anniversary of when Carter and I met Michelle at a Maytan Music Center open mic. Way back in the day, and they've
and you thought there's no way that little girl can play fucking
oh yeah no and then
Led
she
Zeppelin
just fucking
stuff, or...
rips and blows both of us away and like Carter
and she was you guys were how old
oh god maybe 14 god. Or 15 something
imagine
like that
tiny 14 year old Michelle just fucking
ripping
I can't even
just, yeah like just she is amazing and the show was just kick ass. I think they played for like an hour and a half maybe 2 hours and just like killed it the entire set. Yeah, it was a fantastic time and anybody who wasn't there really missed out.
I had to work, and I was so sad. I saw everybody's like live videos and stuff on Facebook while I was sitting at work being sad and bored.
That's always the worst.
It sucks having to work all the weekends and seeing all my friends have fun.
But yeah, I think they're here the 23rd, and I'm really excited for that show because it's my friends, and I've known them forever. I've known Carter for 15 years and Michelle for 12, so.
Well, that's cool you did that this weekend. Anybody else do anything fun this week?
I went and saw Soul Asylum.
Yeah, how was that?
That Minneapolis band from the 90s.
Yeah, we all know Soul Asylum.
What's their hit, Nick? What's their hit?
They have a few, but the biggest one's Runaway Train.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I've cried to that drunk.
The music video for that is so sad. But I remember.
Did you know it actually helped find like 100 kids?
Yeah,
from that video?
I knew that. Actually.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Pretty wild. I guess they came out with a new one. Anyway, it was cool to see that old rocker, you know, still rocking, Dave Perner anyway. The rest of the band is like new guys. Mm. As a bass player died.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Was back and stuff. Yeah. But that dude looks like Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It's trippy. I don't see the young guy with the blonde dreads.
Is he as hot? Daryl from The Walking Dead is hot.
Nick. The important questions.
I mean, Nick.
What?
Well, I don't know if he's hot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know.
Me and Rick are waiting.
Tell us he's hot.
I'll just put it this way. I think he was hotter when he had blonde dreads and he was young.
Oh, okay.
So hot guy growing up.
It was cool. I always liked those songs, and I think he's one of the great songwriters, you know, of that time.
Yeah.
Did the soundtrack for Chasing Amy,
was
really cool.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, no, just Dave Perner.
Oh, yeah.
He did that movie. So there's some really cool music from that. Dude, today, I got to admit, I think that edible's kicking in.
Oh. We won't make you talk too much.
Yeah, I'm just here to listen to the ladies, and Soul Asylum was great.
We gotta play one of Nick's samples.
Okay, I'm a little bit high and to the left.
Oh, well, I went to a really amazing show too Thursday night. It was Loud as Folk. And we got to see Jade Brody, who is a friend of the show, with her full band, Jade Brody and the Backups. And she was just so amazing.
I could imagine her.
I was totally there. Yeah, I went to see Mason in the beginning because he's a good friend of mine. And it was his last show. Yeah. Well, he booked one more at Kiehl's. So he ended up having one more. But originally it was going to be his last. And now, he's not here anymore. But yeah, he just went back to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah. He shot a music video at Picnic that night. So we should expect that to be out at some point. And I'll share that on the blog and obviously on our Worst Little Podcast page because we love Mason. He was one of our first guests?
Yeah.
Or in this studio?
It wasn't one of our first, but in this studio, totally. Yeah.
Didn't he come in a tuxedo?
Yes. I know. Because we got a sample from him. He was in here with Zombo. Was he
going to prom afterwards or something? I can't remember.
Oh, God.
And when he was here, he said to Zombo,
"He rocks so hard because he's not a mortal man."
I know that voice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so Mason was there too, and Mason was great. Who else played? Oh, the Reverend Hilton from Atlanta, and he was really good too. I bought a couple of his CDs. He's rad. Yeah. But yeah, Jade Brody stole the show, and it was her tour kickoff. She's going to Nashville and West Virginia and all over the South. So good luck to Jade. I know she listens.
Hi, Jade.
Heck yeah. You killed it in that dress.
Yeah, kill it in that dress.
You can see photos.
And her music video was really rad, too. So
I wonder if she'll hop some trains or something.
Probably. I don't know.
She'll probably check some trains out on tour for sure.
She's like a train engineer. I don't know if you knew that.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. No, she's kind of a badass.
Oh, that was such a fun
show. I don't know if we've ever talked. If we did, I didn't know that she was a musician.
Yeah, we got a whole podcast episode. So if anybody's interested in listening to Jade Brody's, go back and search. Covered on a previous podcast.
It was rad. She talked about being a train conductor. And
we've met. That's rad.
There's not a lot of like folk musicians that are like fucking train conductors. That's really
that was a good one.
Awesome.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially badass female train conductors.
Yeah, we were so excited.
Male-dominated fields.
We were like, you do what? We don't even want to talk about the music. What's the train conductor? We're like, do you have to beat up bums? Like, do you run into hobos?
Them train hoppers.
Do you hit cows when you're driving a train? Like we asked that. I think she was getting a little annoyed with us.
Like, we were so
excited about the train shit.
And now we're like deja vu?
Yeah. Oh. But anyway, what did you do, Rick?
Oh, I went to Virginia City very briefly because the Pistoleros had family issues again. They got a lot of family issues. And so they weren't able to record. They were supposed to record this weekend, so that didn't work out. And instead, I spent the entire weekend mastering the new album for People with Bodies, which is a band that includes members from Actors Killed Lincoln.
I thought you were going somewhere else when you said mastering.
We all did.
Mastering.
Yeah, see, I understand what you're talking about, Rick, but they're thinking naughty things.
Right. I spent a lot of time mastering
people,
if you know what I'm saying.
People with bodies. We need to have them on the show.
So we can master them?
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of body talking.
They recorded their own album, and I'm doing the...
Nice. Okay.
So.
All right.
So, yeah. So it's crazy weird music, which is what I would expect from them.
If you don't have a body, you're not a people.
You're not a people. People.
I imagine the title is tongue in cheek, Nick.
People with bodies are my favorite kind of people.
Hell yeah. Want to see more of that.
Well, speaking of Los Pistoleros, Julio sent me their new music video today.
Oh.
And it's raunchy as fuck.
Is it just available for anybody to look at?
I'm not sure if it's available yet, but when it is, I will definitely broadcast it. It is not safe for work, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh.
I got to check that one out.
Man, yeah. Andy was always like, I'm like, Andy, you're the baddie kid that my mom wouldn't want me to hang out with when I was younger.
What'd he say?
He just smiled.
Yeah. Yeah,
he knows
true.
It's true.
It's true. Yeah.
A Los Pistoleros.
Yeah. Anyway, do we want to get another song?
Yes, please.
Let's do another song.
Kat, how many songs do you have for us?
I don't know. How many you want?
We could do like 10.
I mean, it depends on what you want. I got like 5 hours, 6 hours of covers. I got like 2 hours of originals.
Let's do originals. We don't need 2 hours. But
yeah, no, I mean,
probably
yeah.
like five is plenty.
Yeah.
That's
5 hours?
We've already had 2 songs, so.
Oh, five songs.
Yeah, like okay. 3 or 4 more songs.
Okay, rad.
5 hours, we're never leaving the studio.
Never.
Dig this in, everybody. This is where we live now.
A two-parter.
You are never leaving the Dogwater Studios.
Dogwater Studios. People check in, but they don't check out.
The Dogwater Puppies.
The Dogwater Puppies.
Then shit all over everything.
Like puppies do.
Thanks, Chewy.
That's what
miss
we
you,
do.
Chewy.
Yeah, you gotta watch
Chewy
out.
Chewy to come bring us
that's
back.
That's how you get hemorrhoids.
Oh, no. What?
Oh, shitting all over everything, yeah.
Right.
Oh, Chewy, we miss you. I know you're listening.
And Rory, yeah. I guess we miss you too.
Oh, yeah.
Aw, poor Rory.
I guess he does listen. We think he never does.
Yeah,
but
we found out last week. Yeah.
And then we only, and all, and what can
got
we
egg
even
on
do?
My face.
Hi, I have a really small penis.
Hi, buddy.
Hey.
All right, Kat's ready?
Yeah.
All right.
I won't spend my life like a ship lost at sea. No wind to fill my sails, no stars to guide me out in the waveless waters far from home. Where dreary nights bled into dreary days. I thought I was happy, but I made a mistake. I thought I could be all that I need. Say that you can only know what you see. I can only see what I know. After all of these days I've been lost at sea, I see you. I see you.
Cause I wanna breathe you in so I can breathe you back out again. I want to sink right through your skin. I wanna hold your heart in my hand so I can see just what drove me to come back to land. I wanna see just where I begin. Say that you can only know what you see. I can only see what I know. After all of these days I've been lost at sea, I see you in you. I see you. Dreams where I get so tangled up I can't breathe. I've given up every show, turned my back on that open door forevermore. Cause I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I said I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Dude, that's so much awesome. Fucking feeling, and
wow.
It's so simple, and
thank
shit,
you.
And your voice just fills up the world.
Oh, thank you.
Fuck, that's rad.
I've got goosebumps and tears in my eyes.
Aww.
God.
I mean, that happens every time somebody looks at me, but I mean, that was beautiful. Thank
aww.
You, guys.
If I saw you with tears in your eyes, I would cry too, because I'm a co-crier. You know what that's like?
I feel co-crier. That. I feel that.
Oh, someone else cries, I can't not do it.
All right, she's doing the changeover. She's coming over to talking, Mike.
Is she talking in between talking?
Can you turn on the headphones that I have over here a little bit?
She's asking for Rory's headphones to be turned down a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a cartilage piercing, so I tried to like move the headphones back, and it hurt.
Oh, no.
I was like, no, wait, we forgot to set those.
No worse little podcast
thank
injuries.
Thank you. Oh, that's so much better. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, like when you're singing, I'm trying to figure out like who you remind me of. And I mean, your voice is just so unique. I can't even place it.
Thank you.
Like, who are your influences?
Well, I grew up, my dad listened to a lot of 70s rock when I was a kid. And so he never listened to anything in the 80s. I did not know that metal existed, never really heard AC/DC until I was like 15. Excuse me. Until I was like 15, and then I was kind of into like 90s rock right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? 13, 14, 15. My first concert, I saw Offspring here in the Reno Coliseum when I was 13. I saw them on the Ixnay and the Hombre tour.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. I saw my first Pineapples live, right? And the Hacky Sack ring. You know, all the girls shaved their head and just had the little...
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
That was a thing. I had never, you know, it was before the internet.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't even have cable. I didn't even have MTV. I showed up and I was like, wait, where'd her hair go?
I was thinking about that the other day. And it was the cool thing about when there wasn't the internet is if you were into something, you really had to go be into it. You had to go buy the stuff, study it. Now anything you hear about that's cool, you can just go look it up on the internet. You know what I mean?
And so, right.
Kind of takes the fun out of.
Like, I found out The Cure was playing back in 1989 in Sacramento because a bunch of my friends were like, hey, The Cure's playing in Sacramento. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't hear about stuff like that just everywhere. like something would just happen and you just have to have friends or like.
The discovery is part of your why you're so passionate about it. Because when I discovered it, my mind was blown. Jane's Addiction, when I first discovered that, I was just all, what the fuck? I thought Metallica was the coolest shit. And I saw Jane's Addiction. And I was like, I think I'm going this direction. You know what I mean?
Without the internet, there's so much more shared experiences with, well, with everything, obviously, but with music too. I remember my dad. I was born in 81, so I wasn't here, and I was not alive in a world without MTV because that was the year it launched. My dad would get me out of bed after bedtime to watch the new Tom Petty video or whatever he was into.
Oh, that's cool. Right. Really?
Yeah.
Aw, your dad's so, like, sweet.
Yeah, he'd like you to think that.
Well, I mean, not to be contrarian, but like most of my favorite bands I would have never heard of if not for the internet because they never leave the East Coast. So like there's, you know, pros and cons to it. Like,
it's made our world smaller.
Yeah.
For
sure.
The internet's made our world smaller.
It's sent some interesting things to music, though.
Yeah.
And people's like musical tastes. I remember growing up, it was like you listened to what you listened to and it was part of your identity.
Right.
You know, and it was like you had to staunchly like defend why, you know, everybody was like, I hate country or I love country or I whatever. Now you just talk to people and they're like, I just like music.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard somebody be like, well, with the exception of not liking country, I still hear that one a lot. But beyond that, like even metalheads will be like, yeah, I know. Like I'll listen to other stuff. Like they'll listen to whatever else and really get a kick out of it. It's really interesting.
But man, when we were growing up, it was like you dressed a certain way. You liked the way certain people looked. And then you hung out with those people that dressed that way. And then they all listened to a similar music. And then you like I only got into to The Cure and Bauhaus and all this like dark shit because I thought that the weirdo kids with the dark goth looking bullshit were cool, and so you hang out with a certain group, and then that becomes your new reality. But if that didn't exist, I never would have found any of that shit.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's still like I hung out with like the dirty metal heads in high school because that's what I thought was cool. But at the same time, they still introduced me to a whole bunch of like rap and hip hop and stuff that I never would have listened to without them. So like, it's really just kind of like you still do have those cliques where people still dress a certain way and like that's the main music they listen to. But like just because, you know, like I dress like a fucking punk guy, but that doesn't mean I don't listen to hip hop. It doesn't mean I don't listen to folk music. Like I love folk music more than most punk, but I just, you know, I prefer the aesthetic of one.
It's totally true. The goth kids showed me the Beatles and they also showed me Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
Really?
Which will because of Harold and Maude.
Yeah. I had no idea you were a goth kid, Rick.
Haven't you seen the picture downstairs of me?
No.
Could you not tell from all of the crosses?
Oh, I thought that was just because you were religious.
All the H.R. Geiger.
Yeah.
You just like Jesus a lot. Like,
oh, I think he's running downstairs to get that photo to show you.
It's first little podcast show and tell. It's too bad this is an audio show and the audience can't see what we're about to see.
It's a very good thing it's an audio show. I do not want people seeing this face.
And Rick is in Rick, the studio.
Handing the picture over.
Wait, who is that?
19.
Oh, you guys, it's in a beautiful frame.
You totally look like a vampire.
A beautiful pewter frame, and oh my goodness. Wow.
I'm gonna share this on the blog so that our audience can see what Rick looked like.
Is half your head shaved there?
I feel the cure so hard. I know. Feel the cure.
Were you a
so
fan
hard
of the movie Powder? He's got like Powder and Edward Scissorhands and The Crow all mixed up in one.
It is.
Oh, that
it's
was
so
a
true.
Nice
that
description. Is, yeah. That was nice.
Goth as fuck.
Oh, Rick.
Such a guy.
I think we all went through that. I mean, you know, when I discovered music on my own, I loved the first three albums I ever had were Bush, Razorblade Suitcase, Nirvana In Utero, and Master of Puppets, right?
Oh,
and
Master of Puppets is so rad.
Dude, I mean, like, listening to the song One, like, start out, it's, you know, it's the harmonies and everything, and these underlying, like, differentiating rhythms that were, like, extremely alluring to me. Mm. And I became a huge metalhead. The first song I ever learned how to play on guitar was Nothing Else Matters, because anybody that knows guitar, it's completely open.
Yeah.
is that part of your set ever?
No, I should. I mean, I do some heavy stuff. I've written some of my own heavy stuff. I've got some stuff where I, like, scream and wail and, like, go really heavy. And all the way, you know, you guys see, like, already, like, I play a little bit of everything. I write a little bit of everything. I love music. If I connect to it, I'll play it. If I don't like it, I'm sorry, I'm probably not going to play it.
How long have you been playing music?
Well, I mean, I was really interested in music from the time I was little, but I never sang. And I played guitar a little bit in high school. I mostly played saxophone. I was a jazz sax player. And I went like all state and all that stuff. But, you know, foster care kid, I moved cross country when I was 14 in with my grandma, and I met a total piece of crap man a year out of foster care. I got pregnant at 17 and I had 4 kids. And so the entirety of the time that I was with him, he was very insecure and very controlling. I wasn't allowed to play music. I wasn't allowed to hum. I had a 1970s classical Alvarez guitar that he stepped through and destroyed when my daughter was like 6 months old, and I didn't play. And I never knew I could sing. I never, like, I tried in choir once, but my voice isn't like all the other girls. So I was like, I can sing in pitch, but you probably don't want to hear me sing. Mm.
Which is a shame. Your voice is like an angel. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Well, it's a lot of years. And then the day that I left him is literally the day that I bought an acoustic guitar. And I jumped on a plane and I flew out here and I stayed with some family down in Gardnerville, right under the mountains. And y'all can see my little tattoo.
Yeah.
This is taken from the backyard. It's Job's Peak, right?
Yeah.
And South Lake's where I was born. So there's a little heart over there over Kingsbury Grade. And that's where everything started for me. And the first place I ever played, I went to Genoa Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, back when they had the open mic night. Mm-hmm. And I played with a couple of friends. One dude made a bass out of a boat oar, and another dude made drums out of like coffee cans. It
That's
was rad.
Rad.
Yeah, that is somewhere on Facebook, but it's private. I don't share that one. But that was almost exactly 8 years ago. So since then, I've been playing and writing. I mean, I started just writing for myself, and my first 4 gigs were all by invite. Other people wanted me to come play. I was super shy. I shook like a leaf when I held my guitar. I didn't want to be on stage in front of people, but at the same time, like, I basically, sorry anybody that knows Genoa Bar, I kind of ripped the open mic idea and took it back with me to Ohio and helped save a buddy's bar. Even though I didn't want to do it, I gave him the idea. He used it, but he didn't have anybody to run it, so he got me to do it. And then there would be times there wouldn't be people there, and I would have to make some kind of noise. And then people started hearing me, and I mean, I got paid 3 drinks a night for that gig.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then I just went off from there. I started playing with other people and having a really rad time.
Speaking of open mics, I know you're relatively new to the Reno scene,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
About a year ago, almost a year ago, you were playing an open mic at Picnic,
mm-hmm.
and some asshat stole your guitar.
What?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
God.
His name?
I don't know.
It was just some rando.
Well, okay, so I saved up for this guitar, y'all. I don't know, anybody that knows guitars knows the Reverend brand, right? American made, low numbers, they're beautiful. I fell in love with one in Nashville. I've been looking for one for years, have never even found an in-person dealer that was like within a reasonable drive. Well, Jam Pro here in town, by the way, I love them. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug them.
Sure. But
yeah, go
they're my
ahead.
Favorite music store. They're family owned and operated. I freaking love them. And if you guys aren't working with them for your youth program, you should consider it, because they already do that kind of thing, and they have a stage built at the back of the store. It's rad. They all work with youth. Anyway, she's writing it down. I totally forget where I was
going.
My job. Oh, yeah. So I saved up and I bought this amazing hot orange semi-hollow body Bigsby tailpiece, you know, double humbucker, beautiful guitar. And I took it into Picnic and somebody picked it out of the crowd of 12 other guitars and just walked out with it.
Oh, my God.
Just straight out the door.
$1,000. Was he ever caught? Was it ever discovered? Was it ever returned?
I filed a police report. Nobody's ever seen it. The last thing I ever heard was that somebody saw it on the number 4 bus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if anybody sees a hot orange Reverend semi-hollow body guitar, please find me.
Yeah, we'll beat the shit out of that guy first. Take the guitar and then...
But something
could
happen.
Could be in a pawn shop too, so
yeah.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Something good came of that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, because the Worst Little Podcast posted about it, everybody on Facebook. I love Reno because it's such a tight-knit community, especially the music community. Like when Ivan Gates had all of his gear stolen, like how he mm-hmm. got it back because of Facebook. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let's share, you know, mm-hmm. her stuff, even though we didn't know you at the time. We're like, this is not cool. You can't just steal from our community. So everybody shared it. And then when the Worst Little Podcast shared it, we had a good friend of the show, Bruce, hit us up, and he said that his dad wanted to donate a guitar to you.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Is that Bruce from Moons of Vega?
Yes, Bruce from Moons of Vega.
Oh, fucking Bruce.
Yeah, so Bruce's dad, Stevie, right?
Oh.
Steve, yeah.
Gave her a guitar. So that's like the power
did.
Of our community.
That's pretty amazing.
He did, and that's still the guitar that I play. So
wow.
Actually, I haven't, besides like literally handing over her over for like 45 seconds for him to like straighten the neck. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been in a shop since he gave her to me. And so, I mean, she's, you know, my everyday workhorse. Beautiful guitar.
It's and it sounds great.
Is that a Les Paul?
Or is it? No, it's actually, it's a short run of a Gibson Nighthawk. It doesn't have the blade pickup. It's got a baked maple neck, and it goes humbucker to single coil. It's a lot of fun.
Wow, cool.
It sounds great.
It's pretty.
Thank you. The only thing I'm missing is a whammy. I want one so bad.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully that unfortunate experience that happened to you was redeemed by this, and you...
It was. You know, because the first thing was, like, I was heartbroken, and what do you want to do when you're heartbroken and you're a musician? You want to play your music.
Yeah.
I didn't have a backup guitar. I didn't have anything. And I literally sat there like, of all the times that I need to play something and I have nothing. And it was only like 3 days. And here was another guitar in my hands. And I mean, I had just started booking. I had just started gigging a little bit. And it was like everything got ground to a halt. I mean, I just moved here, you know, trying to get on my feet. So it was a huge help. I mean, I can't tell them thank you enough. They're rad.
Man, you can't stop like the positive energy in Reno. Like it's gonna, the world can come in and do something shitty, and the positive energy in Reno is gonna fucking swoop in like a gravity well and fix everything.
And I should say also, Picnic also had a whole fundraiser for me the week after, and they raised a bunch of money to help me go towards whatever. So, because there was other stuff also stolen, who's inside of the case that my guitar was in. So, like other gear.
Your weed.
And like my capo and like my guitar strap and like, you know, chords. And I actually had like this deck of tarot cards that I'd had for like 9 years or something in there, and just like just weird stuff that I just had to replace. So
big shout out to Picnic. They're such huge supporters of the Reno music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really awesome of them to do that. It wasn't their fault that this happened. It was just some random asshole. Some
you can't
random
just,
asshole.
Like, have people in your house and not have something missing once in a while. Like
Rick.
Well, and it was a night when there were a lot of people that weren't regulars there. Like, there were some suspects, but nobody knew who they were. And, you know, Picnic is still the place that named me Cat Heart when I moved to Reno. And, I mean, I was just there on Friday with you, or Thursday, for the Loudest Folk. And, I mean, I still play the open mic. I just keep a little closer eye on my stuff.
Yeah, as we all should, but that's a thing.
Kim, didn't you help a friend get their cat back, which was also stolen from a bar?
Yeah.
Not your guest cat, but an actual cat?
Yeah, an actual cat. My friend has this cat named Breaker, who's like the most social cat ever. He's this anomaly, and he used to take him everywhere with him, like zipped up in his hoodie. And he was at Noble one night, and some crazy lady was like, "Can I pet him?" Picks him up, pets him. Kel turns his back for a minute, and the lady walks off with his cat.
Dude.
Walks what? Out with his cat, steals his fucking cat right in front of him. So Reno, as a community, we all banded together, and we all shared our pictures of Breaker, our stories of Breaker. Aww. And within like a day, Breaker was found.
Was he like just roaming? I feel like he was outside.
No, the lady was shamed into returning him to the Humane Society.
Did she say, though, this is a stolen cat, you better call somebody? Or did she just?
Well, it was to Animal Control, actually, and Animal Control already had a report. And so they called his actual owner up and they were like, this lady brought this cat in and surrendered him under suspicious circumstances. So here's your cat back.
Like she was drunk?
No, she wasn't drunk. She was just crazy. But Reno's fucking rad, and I never want to leave this city.
Aw.
I love it here.
Yeah. I love it here, too.
The biggest, smallest place, that's what I heard.
Yes. I love that drop. Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm Martin. I don't know if you listen, but...
Probably not.
You live on.
Forever and ever on the Worst Little Podcast. Yeah.
Should we get to the quiz real quick?
Yeah, let's do a quick one.
All right.
Let's do it.
Give me some music.
As you wish, Mr. Ramirez.
Zombo. Thank you, Zombo. I didn't know you were here. It's time for the Worst Little Quiz. This week, I think we're gonna give Melanie the option. Do you want to be a question giver or a question taker?
Question
question taker.
Yeah. Okay, yay. She's in the quiz. Okay. All right.
So now
Melanie,
it's the two of you against
Kat.
Each other.
Head to head.
Ding, ding, ding,
I didn't know I had to play a game. Okay.
All right.
Oh, boy.
It's easy. Don't worry.
I'm terrible at trivia.
Oh, no, no, no. This is about you.
This is about you.
Oh.
These are all questions you're going to know the answer to.
Oh, well, okay. You didn't say that.
And the more we like them, the higher you score. You know what I'm saying?
All right. We'll start off with a softball question, my celebrity road trip question. You're going on a celebrity road trip across America. Who's a celebrity you're with, and what car are you guys doing it in?
Oh, there's so many options in my head. Do they have to be alive?
No.
Nope. Alive or dead.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, I have so many people in my head right now. It's really hard. I'm so sorry.
10 seconds to answer.
That's a new rule.
New tonight.
You know what? Okay, honestly, I would probably take it as a really fun afternoon and like super
across
pick.
America?
Yeah, well, okay, fun week. I think somebody that could keep me entertained and intellectually stimulated and probably has a rad car is Jon Stewart. I think that would be fun.
I don't think we've ever had that before.
No, that's good. Jon Stewart.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. High scoring answer. But you get less points because you didn't say what kind of car.
Oh.
You just said whatever Jon Stewart.
Well, I figured he'd have a rad car, but I mean, if I get to take my pick, I mean, a 67, 68 Mustang SS would be rad.
More points.
There we go.
Sprung back up. Melanie, same question.
Same question. That means I had time to think. So if I have a good answer, that's only the reason. Well, because it's Women's March, I would pick Angela Davis. We were just talking about her earlier.
Yeah.
She was on the FBI's most wanted list and then became a professor at my alma mater of the history of consciousness.
What was she on the list for?
She was part of the Weather Underground.
Mm-hmm.
Bombing and stuff like that.
Domestic terrorist group.
Yeah. Oh. No, but you know, with good morals and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I guess we would go in an Astro van.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Yeah.
It's got to be tricked out though, right? Because that would be rad.
Heck yeah.
It's gonna have air conditioning.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the little running board lights along the ceiling have to actually light up. You gotta have, like, that one that like
flickers.
Yeah.
not the creepy Astro van, no.
All right. Upon your death, where would you haunt?
Ooh. Well, I don't ever want to leave Tahoe, so I would probably stay there all the time. I would find, I know. I would haunt the little building in Skunk Harbor, because that's super cool. Do you guys, have you ever been there?
No.
No.
Where is it?
Skunk Harbor, Tahoe. It's one of my favorite little places. If you know about it, there is a little abandoned building that has a giant fireplace that is half in the house and half out of the house. And behind the house, there's this giant staircase and all these rocks that go up into the mountains. It's like a private little cove. I would
that's
just
rad.
Stay there forever. That'll
okay,
be
now I want to go there. All right.
It's a hike, but it's worth it.
Gonna write that one down.
Yeah.
Be a great place to smoke some weed, right?
I cannot follow that up, but I'm gonna try so hard. I don't believe in the afterlife, by the way. I don't believe that I'll be a ghost.
Oh, it's all theoretical.
Okay.
Yeah, theoretical.
So I would theoretically haunt an abandoned mine in rural Nevada. If I had to pick one, one can't come to mind right now, so I will let you know
Shit.
Later.
But that
one
would,
near a
you
hot
would
spring,
never,
right?
You would never see anybody unless somebody like fell in there, and our kids like were screwing around where they shouldn't be.
Yeah,
stay alive.
But there's probably a lot of really cool other ghosts in there.
Oh, that's true.
So,
like old miner ghosts. I want them to be hot old miner ghosts.
Well, they are because ghosts don't exist.
Okay.
So there you go.
Right.
They work really hard. They got to be ripped.
Oh, yeah, like just abs and like lean. And
yeah.
I would be stoked
giant
not to
biceps.
Be around other people. I'd be stoked to haunt somewhere there were no people.
Yeah.
That is a good like Nevada answer.
Yeah. You get points for that.
Okay, yeah. Rick, your turn.
What is the dumbest thing you ever shoplifted?
Let's start with Melanie.
Mood ring.
Wow. That's pretty dumb.
I didn't get away with it either.
Oh, no, you got caught.
I got.
How old?
I was like 9.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who caught you?
Who caught me?
Yeah.
The proprietor, the shop owner.
Oh,
did you get in hella trouble?
No, I just got hella embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
And I never did it again.
Never.
All it took.
I have to say I've been kind of a goody two-shoes my whole life, but they're like with some of that stuff. But I did accidentally steal from Walmart. I had like just had a lot of stuff in my hands. It was like a long time ago, but I had ended up like just juggling stuff and ended up putting like a nail polish in my pocket. And I didn't find it till I got out to the car. And this is like, this is risque for me. I got there and I was like, yeah, fuck it. It's Walmart. I'm not going back in to pay for this shit. They've taken enough of my money over the years. Fuck you guys.
You stuck
taking
it to
my
the
blue
man.
Nail polish home.
But the dumbest thing you ever shoplifted because it was dumb.
It was a $2 fucking nail polish.
You did it by accident. Like that's pretty. Like, you know, I don't know. Mood ring's pretty strong though.
That's
damn.
Pretty good answer.
That was pretty good.
Okay, who's next?
All right, so you're stranded on a desert island. Your mother, your brother, or your lover? Who do you eat first?
Oh. Okay, this is a terrible answer. My mom, because she's high as fuck on opiates, so she'd probably give me a good time.
Yeah. Oh. If you've already crossed into cannibalism, you might as well get high as fuck.
Imagine, yeah, the kind of steak that makes you really relax.
I mean, she's been doing that shit for years. It's got to have some kind of effect, right?
It's got to be marinating.
It's got to be like stuck in the protein somewhere.
Edibles.
Like, at least if I'm going to die, like, I'm going to die high, I guess. Told you that was dark.
Okay, Melanie,
sorry,
can you beat that?
No, I can't, but here's my answer. I don't have a lover. Wah, wah. My mother would just sit there and be like, okay, sweetie, if you really have to, do I taste okay? So I wouldn't want to eat my mother. Just she'd make me feel bad about it in that mommy passive-aggressive way. My brother's really good at taking care of me, and he wouldn't mind. He would take one for the team. So I guess, I guess my brother. Plus, he's really tall, so I could just like eat part of an arm and he'd be fine.
Yeah.
You
can just like tourniquet it off well enough. Right. Yeah. Keep the gangrene out.
Yeah.
Piecemeal.
Literally.
That's for all the tickle torture you put me through when I was a child.
All right, one more round of big questions. Also, can the intern come bring get my cup and coffee and fill it, please?
And I would like another beer.
Me too, if that's an option.
Oh, yeah.
Tangerine wheats. They're in the fridge.
Oh, well, he's walking I'll in there right now, so just tell him he took his cans off before he got the orders in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so sad. Coffee? Well, I mean, it's all good beer in there, so I mean, whatever we end up with.
Thank you.
May we both get one of those?
And I'm going to join Nick with the coffee because we put the riot in sobriety.
Yes.
Thank
we
you.
We do.
Tangerine, yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, round two. Here we go.
Okay.
I'm going to steal yours, Rick. What was on your walls when you were adolescent?
Lots and lots of poster pages ripped out of magazines. You know, I did that whole, like, tiling of my
wall. What kind of magazines?
And what were the pictures of? Were they, like women thinking about stuff? Were they, like, dudes with their shirts off? Or
not really. No, I mean, I did a lot of guitar.
Psychedelic stuff?
No, I did Guitar Magazine. I thought that was cool because they always did some of my favorite bands, and they always had, like some kind of fold-out that you could pull out. I did a lot of art, so I hung a lot of my own stuff. And I did a lot of, like, skateboard and, like, snowboarding magazines.
Fuck yeah.
You know, typical, cool. Like, grunge rock. Teenage room.
You were cool.
Fuck yeah.
Melanie.
So
question.
Is adolescent like puberty around that time?
Yeah.
Okay, so like 11, 12. Let's see. I'd black out curtains because I wanted to be cool. And anything that would bother my parents, honestly. Anything that would bother my parents.
For example?
Anything that was risque. I think I had a huge poster, a movie poster from Clockwork Orange, having never seen the movie. yeah, because I was a cool kid, right?
Right.
So anything that would piss off my parents.
What? Just a little side question. What did you think of the movie once you finally saw it? And
Thought it was atrocious. I thought it was absolutely atrocious. What? I thought it was frightening. And I do love film. I do. And I appreciated it for what it was. Mm-hmm.
It's upsetting, though.
It is very upsetting. And I'm a sensitive lady. No, I appreciate it for what it is. I appreciate it for how it spoke to the rest of, you know.
Did you regret?
Were you sober?
I was sober.
Yeah.
Did you regret having that poster on your wall?
after that?
No, because I think a lot of kids do things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally, totally.
I feel like that's one of those movies, the prerequisite is that you should be high on something before you push play. Yeah. I think that's kind of required.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I saw it.
That,
but,
yeah.
You know,
was...
I got hella stoned before I saw Eraserhead, and that was a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I took acid and saw Eraserhead, and that was a huge mistake.
Because that fucking movie is really awful and boring.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. We fell asleep so fast. I didn't even make it to the lady in the radiator.
I don't even think I knew what was going on, but the little Eraserhead guy. That freaks the shit out of you.
Man. Oh, God.
It's terrible. It's like watching the guy's face melt on Indiana Jones or something, you know?
Or like when he like throws his hand in there and like rips his heart out of his chest.
Oh, yeah. That was in the second one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been pretty graphic stuff. And nowadays, that was mild. Or it's mild nowadays. Where were we?
Who's this? Is it Kim?
It's me.
Kim.
It's me. What's the first album you bought with your own money?
Ooh.
I have I think it actually was the Black album, Metallica, because I had fallen in love so much with Master of Puppets, and there were a couple of songs on there that I really liked. And so I kind of went down that rabbit hole. But it might have also been a different Nirvana album, because I also bought a lot of their stuff. Mm. One or the other.
All right.
Wow. So does allowance count as my own money?
Yeah. That's exactly.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Beer's here. And coffee.
Oh, she's got the beer and I've got the coffee. Let's see.
Thank you.
Yes. Gracias, señor.
I feel like I have to tell the truth and say it was a New Kids on the Block album.
That's fucking rad.
I'm not mad about
Even
that.
I thought that was gay.
Well, I am a little gay.
I wore red ribbon to the Emmys, okay?
Kat's looking around like, who is the little girl in the walls? What's going on?
Riku.
She's
a ghost that haunts the podcast.
She's very opinionated.
Yes, she's very opinionated.
That's ironic. That is actually an old cat's name of mine, Riku.
Are you serious? Is it from the video game?
Yeah.
Because she was named after the video game.
Yeah, totally.
She was really named after the character in Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
Her parents are nerds.
But yeah, I know Rory's a nerd, but...
F and A.
And but she also has the best initials ever. It's rad, so...
What is it, though?
Riku.
The notorious
R-A-E. Oh, I'm kidding, I know.
Oh, yeah, she knows. She's a longtime listener.
We have a drop of it somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
All right, who's next?
I think that's Rick.
Oh, wait.
This is Riku Aria Dowd for the Worst Little Podcast.
Oh,
I know.
Okay, she's cute.
Okay, so what is your favorite form of soup?
Oh, my God, I love soup. You hit on like a whole food group. For me, sorry. I have a small obsession with soup. I love food. I'm super not picky. My stepmom growing up was Filipino, so like one of my very, very favorite foods is tinola.
I don't know what that is.
It's really good. Okay, so you take a whole chicken and you cut it up and you kind of like slowly start to cook it kind of in the bottom of a giant stock pot. And then you throw in like a thumb's worth of ginger and a little bit less than that in garlic. And you kind of heat it up in the oil. And then you cover everything in water and salt and pepper and a little bit of like fish sauce, just a tiny bit. And a bunch of sayote or alligator pears, a.k.a. merlotons. It's that chayotes, they look like a little pear, but they got big, they got little buttholes on them. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that got the little buttholes at both ends.
Butthole pears.
Yeah, okay. Butthole pears, there you go. And then at the very, very end, right before you serve it, you throw in a bunch of baby spinach and you wilt it right into the soup. And it is like the best feel-good comfort food. And right behind that, I'm probably like cream of potato and really good French onion. I love to cook, so I make all that stuff.
All right. Fucking rad.
I'm just soaking in that answer. little nervous to follow that up. Big steaks here. Big steaks. So you said favorite form of soup.
Yes.
So I think a variety. Ooh. So a form would be like a bisque or a cream base or...
Okay, if you want to go just category, like, yeah, because I did say form.
I would guess, a bisque. Lobster bisque would be a good...
Ooh,
okay.
Good pick. Good pick.
Dig.
Ding.
Thanks for the enthusiasm, Miku.
Ian?
What is the sketchiest convenience store in the Reno, Sparks, Carson greater area?
Ooh, I went to the one that fell down right before it fell down.
There was one that fell down?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean on 4th Street?
No, it was on Kitski and Mill Street. And it was one of the dinosaur ones. Sorry, I'm new to the West Coast still. For
Sinclair.
That. Thank you. I've still got all like the other ones, right?
That fell down?
Dude, the whole like, okay, you remember Call of Duty Ghost?
I thought someone crashed into it.
Where you could like, I don't know how many gamers we have here, but Call of Duty Ghost, yeah. You should be able to like blow up the one gas station thing and it fell down. It fell down just like that.
Oh, jeez.
Like completely sideways, toppled over one of the poles. It was during like a windstorm at the end of last summer and I was, well, maybe longer. It might have been a year and a half ago. I was working at Renown, and I drove past, and I had just been there getting gas the night before, and it was already really creepy. It was like, you never knew who was going to come up to the car, and like the little attendant was just in a box. It wasn't even like, you can walk in. It's one of those like little tiny, like sketchy ass little windows.
Yeah, like we live in Sacramento.
Yeah. And like
every time I see something like that, I'm like, we're not Sacramento, okay? You can let people in your store.
It was like the most jacked up dinosaur in all of Reno. He's all beat up and sad looking.
Aww.
And then the whole roof fell over and they left it there for like 4 days. They didn't even come and get it forever. I just kept driving past it like, ooh.
Have they rebuilt it yet?
Probably shouldn't have gone there. I haven't
really.
No, they
like demolished it. Yeah, that's by my house. Yeah.
Probably.
It's just kind of there.
So is it just an empty lot? I used to work over by there and I was by that every single day and now I don't work over
there
anymore.
There's a big fence around it now.
Oh, shit.
It's the southwest corner. Kitskin Mill.
Yeah.
Melon.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, it's definitely a 7-Eleven, and I have my phone out right now, and I'm looking at a map, and I'm trying to figure out which one it is. It's not the one by my house, which used to be on off of Wells and Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
That's a popular worst one from what I hear. But there's another one I'm trying to think of that is definitely
the one by Jubbs.
That one's pretty good.
That right next to the laundromat.
That's my pick.
That is the correct answer. Not that there are correct answers, but that's the correct one.
That's
there's the drug dealer to patron ratio is
it's a pretty high ratio.
It's 50-50.
I think the drug dealer ratio at 7-Elevens is high. Okay, I got one for you. I was longboarding this weekend. You said, what did everybody do this weekend? I went on a rad longboard. I live really close to Mira Loma Park, and I finally, like, I've been there for a year and I haven't done this ride, and I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go all the way out to Veterans, and I'm gonna do the whole thing, and it was rad. But on my way, I stopped at 7-Eleven for a tea, and I'm like, feeling cute, whatever. I come out of the 7-Eleven, I start like packing my drink in my bag, and this guy comes running out of his car, and he goes, hey! And I'm like, yes? He says, hey, you do Molly? And I'm like,
what?
Excuse me? I was just like, excuse me? And he was like, You do Molly. And he
I
just
don't
looked
even
at me
know
like
her.
I was just confused and he was looking at me like, why
Molly's
are you
my
confused?
Girl.
And he just looked at me and he goes, well, you a skater, right? And I was like, what
does that
have to do with Molly?
Why do you fucking skate?
Like, I looked at him, I was like, dude, I'm an ER nurse. And then he just turned around and ran back to his car.
ER nurses are way more into meth. Doesn't he know any better?
Oh my god, that's so good.
Oh, rapid fire time?
We could, like, do half of it right now and half after the show.
Yeah, let's just do one round of rapid fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Save a little bump for the morning.
Does this kid have any idea what she's talking about?
No.
And she said way worse stuff, but I don't like playing it during Women's March.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, rapid fire. Here we
rapid
go.
Rapid fire.
We're going to start with Melanie. Bruce Springsteen or Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan, but Bruce Springsteen is still awesome.
Mm.
I would have said the same.
Okay.
Love Bob Dylan's first album.
All right.
Would you rather be beat up or arrested?
Beat up, because at least I can beat the fuck out of him back. Sorry.
There you go.
I would rather be arrested.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, being gay is really great. Being ginger is really great. Of those two great things, which one would you rather be? You can only pick one, gay or ginger.
I would rather be gay than ginger.
I'm both. What? Well, I mean, I'm pansexual and I'm an auburn-haired woman, so I like who I am. Can I choose both?
You get double points.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ian?
Okay, who wins in a fight, Elvis or the Beatles?
Ooh.
Okay, are there other, like, materials at hand, or is this just man-to-man?
Just man-to-man.
It's karate
Elvis versus all the Beatles.
All the Beatles at the same time.
Don't taint it. Don't taint it. Let her answer.
Who's supposed to answer first?
Oh, who's first?
Oh. Whoever.
Oh, I pick Elvis.
I gotta kind of go with Elvis, because I figure the Beatles are going to be stoned, and they're kind of like... They have just their peacekeeping. Elvis is like down to kick ass.
Elvis would kick him right in the face. No, wait.
Karate, man.
We like, totally all agree.
Let it be. Yeah, no, I don't think they're going to do it.
And
yeah.
The Beatles, there's not a pectoral muscle in any of them. They're such weaklings.
Elvis is like, let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Dude, and he's on Demerol. There's no way.
That was the correct answer, you guys.
All right, Kim, I'm going to total up the scores. And looks like Kat is the winner.
Hey! I was looking for the scorecard, like,
7,632 points.
Amazing.
Pretty high score.
Yeah, yes. Baby. Thank you.
You were at 6,999. That's what I mean. So it was really close, you guys.
Nice.
That was just like a question away.
I'll be second banana to Kat any day.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, babe.
All right, should we get one more song and then...
Sure. Well,
let's do a song now and we say goodbye, or should we say goodbye and have two songs?
Ooh, let's say goodbye and have two songs.
Okay, cool. So we've got some events coming up this week. So we have Spindrift and A Wormhole Could Kill Us All, Thursday, 8 p.m. Ooh. At Jump Jumps. It's going to be a great show. And then we have a couple of things happening on Saturday. There is, over at Alturas at 7 p.m. on Saturday, there is a tribute to Neil Peart with Sciante, Hypnotic Death, and Cell, friends of the show.
We love Cell.
So go check that out. I'm sure it's going to be a hell of a time.
They're all playing some Rush songs, right?
Yeah.
It's part of the deal.
Just a huge tribute to Neil Peart. So that should be an awesome thing. And then also on Saturday at Shays, 9 p.m. So you can make it to both. You can't probably stay for all of both, but you can make it to both. We have Antisocial, Cut Rate Druggist, and The Shames playing at Shays.
Ooh, that's going to be good. Man. I'm going to go to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty rad weekend if you can make it out to those. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Are you guys ready for me? And then, if you want to get set up for playing.
Sorry, you guys said, like, we're going to say goodbye and then started talking about, like, shows.
Oh. Yeah, that's part of the wrap-up.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, you're fine. Speaking of shows, do you have anything coming up anytime soon?
Me? Oh, yeah. I play every Friday. I play at Ruin Bourbon. For the month of March, I'm also doing Awesome Females. So Fridays, actually, what's been going on is I've had a different local female artist every Friday, and I just improv and find her, like, on site. We don't rehearse. We don't, like, meet up and do anything else in advance.
I've already had two. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. I've had two females up already. We started out with Alex Voss. She's rad. And then last week I had Maggie May, who's also amazing. And this week I've got Miranda Rose for her birthday party, and she's playing with Lily Barron.
She'll be here next week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's rad. Oh, rad. So she's going to do her birthday party with me on Friday.
Fuck yeah.
And then next week I'm doing Kenyon White. And then the week after that is Miranda Love from South Lake. And then the week after that is super rad. It's this group, Rebel Heart. It's actually a couple, and they're from South Lake, and they're also phenomenal. So check
it out. That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm. She has got one of the most impeccably amazing voices I've ever heard live. I mean, dynamic, soulful. She's rad.
Nice. Awesome.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. And people can find you on Facebook and
Cat,
you have a website or anything?
Cat, the way you spell it, or Cat with a K, Heart, the way you spell the word. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I'm halfway through recording an album with an out-of-state producer. He was out of Nashville. Now he's in Michigan. He took a professorial job.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's pretty rad.
And so there's a lot of stuff going on. I'm kind of on pseudo vocal rest. You guys are the only ones that I'm singing for right now. I don't know if you know that.
Nice.
Rad. Thank you so much.
Well, we're the only ones here. So, of course, we're the only ones you're singing for right now.
And the 200 plus people who listen every week.
Woo!
Hell yes. Yay. Well, I'm going to the Midwest in April, so I'll be gone. But when I come back in May, full swing again. So find me on Insta and Facebook, and I'll see you guys soon.
All right.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
And just real quick, plug in the Patreon. We do have a Patreon. If you want to get a small mini show every week, it's like 5 minutes. You get an extra song that nobody else gets to hear. This week is an exclusive song, like fresh off the presses from Kat. Like, wrote it, yesterday, you said?
I wrote it yesterday, and I spent the majority of today trying to perfect it enough to play it. And hey, I did it.
Yeah, so, and it's rad as hell. So,
so only the Patreon people get to hear that. Yeah. And it's patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast. And if you give $5 or more, we give you all of the little pre-shows. They're just little, like five minute little shows that tell you what the show's going to be like and give you an extra song.
And you get a really sweet email from Rick that tells you that he loves you every single week.
And it's great because I generally need that every week.
And as I'm writing it, I'm always like, I love them so much. So yeah, you will be encased in my love if you join.
Aww.
So patreon.com/worstlittlepodcast.
It's worth $5.
Fuck yeah.
It really is.
All right, you guys. Well, with that, this has been a really fun show. And Kid Rocker, if we want to get a hold again with your information, get your kids rocking at Kid Rocker.
Yes. Reach us at kidrockerreno@gmail.com.
There you go. There you have it. Thanks for coming in, Melanie.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I guess I'll say goodbye for the Reverend Rory Dow, for Chewbacca, for Cadillac Kim, Dogwater Dick, Ian, the new intern. You don't get a name yet. For our guests, Melanie and Cat Hart, I'm Nick Ramirez saying life is short and we love you. Good night, ladies.
On the Worst Little Podcast, we're talking out of our ass.
They always tell you it will work its way out, always for better, not the worst. But I am drowning, can't find my way out of the darkness. I'm stuck here in the night. When you left, you burned out every light. Tried to make the bus, but he already left. Just like my trusty and ice. Another burned out light on my front porch. Now the darkness is breathing in the night. When you left, I turned out all the lights. We are made of tiny sparks that tangle us in flames. Close the door when you leave. Combustion's not the way. This tinderbox house won't survive this way. So I will try to make this dark my day. I'll make this dark my day. I light a candle up to in the window almost every single night. Just to show me what way the wind blows, not to keep the darkness from the night. Go ahead, blow out all the lights. We are made of tiny sparks that tangle us in flames. Close the door when you leave. Combustion's not the way. This tinderbox house won't survive this way. So I will try to make this dark my day. To make this dark my day. I'll make this dark my day. I'll make this dark my day. Thank you.
You were trouble, yeah. You were trouble, walking with me. The first time I saw you, I knew I was in trouble, yeah. I was in trouble, yeah. So I tried to make it last a bit longer, even when you pushed me down. Trouble, yeah. You were trouble in my head and day. The last time you kissed me, I knew we were in trouble, yeah. We were in trouble, yeah. So I tried to make it last a bit longer, even.
A man trapped in a woman's body!
I love parties!